Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Space Adventure returns to Sci-Fi this Friday with Vagrant Queen, adapted from the popular comic book. There's a wrinkle here. All the episodes are written and directed by women. Developer and executive producer Jeff Girard joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Our second guest wants to take a leadership role in the effort to contain the coronavirus here in the United States. Harry Lowell, president of Nightlife Pictures, explains how later this hour. Also ahead, Olympics delay, some late night series return, Fubo TV's deal, and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, broadcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get three free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A very good Monday afternoon to all of you, and welcome to the program All About Television. 38 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We got a great hour in store for you, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. All you got to do is be interact with us, pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. We've got our chat room business. We'll bring some people in. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Speaker, TuneIn, or iHeart screen. Follow the instructions of people live with you. Jerry Gerard from Vagrant Queen is live with us from Vancouver, Canada, after these news updates. We begin with breaking news over the last hour. The 2020 Summer Olympics will not happen from Tokyo this July. International Olympic Committee senior member Richard Pound told USA Today, postponement is final, and what's holding up a public announcement is a reset date. You may have heard over the weekend that a number of Olympic Committee members were saying they will take about a month to make the determined call whether or not to start the Olympics on time this July 24th. And, of course, if it is going to be postponed, obviously it impacts not only all the athletes, but also NBC and the launch of its new streaming service, Peacock. The Daily Show will be back in business tonight on Comedy Central. However, in keeping with social distancing recommendations enforced by various states due to the coronavirus, host Trevor Noah and crew will originate these episodes from remote locations. Meantime, Conan O'Brien's Late Night Half Hour is a week away from resuming on TBS. When Conan comes back March 30th, episodes we tape from O'Brien's home using an iPhone. More CBS News this afternoon. Full Throttle with Samantha Bee, out of action since March 12th, will return this Wednesday night with a new homebound episode. Bee's hubby, Jason Jones, will tape the episode ahead. MultiChannel Smart TV circulating venture Fubo TV will merge with FaceBank Group by the end of the month. FaceBank is a celebrity and sports-focused virtual entertainment outlet. Financial details of the agreement were not released. The combo will be named Fubo TV Inc., operated from New York City and overseen by Fubo Chief Executive David Gandler. Now some quickies before we get to our first guest. World Beyond, AMC's third Walking Dead scripted series, will debut later this year. AMC has planned to start the series April 12th. CBS will now present the 2020 Academy of Country Music Awards September 16th with Keith Urban hosting. The Supreme Court has turned down a hearing of Entertainment Studio and Byron Allen's multi-billion-dollar lawsuit against Comcast, referring the matter back to lower court adjudication. Bravo's next Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season begins April 1st. And the co-founder of King World, the former syndication company behind Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, and other programming, Robert King, has passed away. King, later president of Columbia Pictures Television, died March 10th in Florida, with news of his passing disclosed this morning. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from one beautiful city, Vancouver, Canada, the developer and executive producer of the new sci-fi space adventure series, Vagrant Queen, Jem Girard. Jem, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. Jem, how did this program get organized?
Say that again. We've got a bad connection, I'm afraid, Simon.
Well, we'll get there as the hour goes on. How did this program get organized, Jem?
Well, I had been a fan of Max Visaggio, the comic book writer, for a while. And I just finished working on a movie with Sci-Fi and Blue Ice, and you know, we were looking at comics and looking what's out there to option. and I said some of, you know, Max Visaggio's work, and Vagrant Queen was one that we all really connected with, really enjoyed. And I was asked to write a pilot script based on the comic, and based on that script in a Bible, we were picked up for a season, a 10-episode order.
I think sci-fi has got this great reputation for taking adaptations of comic books by not the Marvels or the DCs, but more of the independent publishers like Vault, like Dark Horse, IDW, of course, with Winona Earp, which is going into its fourth season later this year. Why do you think that is? And did it turn out that this was a natural way, a natural place to put your show on?
Yeah, I think they're always looking for something new and something exciting. Especially in the genre world, they're looking for stories that haven't been told in that space. And so when we came across Vagrant Queen, we hadn't seen a space opera done this way. It's an epic backdrop, but it's telling a very personal story. And I think that's what sci-fi does really well. They have these big worlds, but they really, they focus on character. As you can see from a lot of their other shows, and you mentioned Winona Earp as well, they really know how to create great characters and know that that's important. And that's what we found with Vagrant Queen. We were able to tell a kind of an intimate, personal journey set against this really kind of cool, big, epic world.
Another person just joined our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Welcome aboard. You have a question or comment for Jem, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. Jem, for those people who have not read the comic board or haven't seen the promos yet on sci-fi, what is Vagrant Queen all about?
Yeah, for sure. So Vagrant Queen follows a leader. She's a former child queen who's been on the run since she was overthrown by a Republic army. And she's been on the run, chased by the unhinged Commander Lazaro. We catch up to her. She's in her 20s. She's been living life as a scavenger. And she's delivered news that her mother, who she's long believed to be dead, is still alive and imprisoned in the area of space she once ruled. And so she has to journey back into this dangerous area and face her past and rescue her mom along with friends Isaac and Amay. So I describe it as a road trip through space. It's this personal journey of this woman really trying to find out who she is and find her voice.
Was there any particular inspiration that you found, let's say, not only in the comic book itself, but maybe from other science fiction series that you wanted to deploy to have the look of the show or the characters feel a certain way?
Yeah, in the writers' room, actually, we would reference Guardians of the Galaxy and Ragnarok a lot for that sort of very fun, bright, sometimes irreverent tone, and that's really what we wanted to bring to Vagrant Queen as well, and ask, what does that look like with a lot more diversity?
Vagrant Queen premieres this Friday at 10 p.m. East Pacific Time on the Sci-Fi Channel, and we are speaking with its developer and executive producer, Jem Gerard. She is with us live from Vancouver, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy to have you with us this Monday afternoon. Time to have love with you live from New York, 38 degrees and raining at the top of the hour. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, use this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This is the three episodes we're doing this week. We have a special one coming your way on Wednesday. It'll start one half hour earlier than usual. That's 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time. And joining us off the top will be the creator, executive producer, and writer of the brand-new Amazon series, Tales from the Loop. Very unique because it's based on digital paintings, and the digital painter is also part of the production. production team. We'll speak with Nathaniel Halpern. He'll be our lead guest. Then we'll celebrate the 10th anniversary of National Geographic's sister network, Nat Geo Wild. We'll have Senior Vice President Janet Ham-Fissering. And finally, you'll meet the star of the brand new Hulu miniseries, Baghdad Central, that premieres this Friday, Waleed Zawakar. That's all coming up on Wednesday, special start time, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jen, what makes your series very special, and I believe it may be, if not the first, one of the first series of a genre where all the episodes are written and directed by women. Was that the design?
That's true, yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, ultimately, you know, on every show you want the best people possible for, in your writer's room and on set. And, you know, it was very important to me to have an all-female team. You know, we have a long way to go to reach parity. And we're especially not seeing enough women in genre, in action and in sci-fi and fantasy. And, you know, I know how difficult it is. I've been, a director for hire looking for work on in episodic. And unfortunately, those were the shows that, it was very hard to get hired on. I was sort of given breaks in drama and rom-com. But, it, you know, wasn't necessarily where I wanted to be. And so when I was given Vagrant Queen and put in this this position of power, it was very important for me to amplify those female voices. And I hope to continue to do so throughout my career.
So when you were looking for writers or directors, female writers and directors, were you looking for people in the genre itself, had experience, or did you want to take a gamble on people that had no experience but could bring a fresh perspective? With not having experience to begin with, they could bring a fresh perspective to the character and to the storylines.
Yeah, it's a good question. A bit of both, really. I think it was, we wanted people that enjoyed the genre, but it wasn't necessarily, so important, how much knowledge they had of previous shows and movies and comics. More so that, they obviously enjoyed the genre and understood character. And so the two, the writers we had in the room, Mariko Tamaki, I was actually a fan of hers before bringing her on board. She's a great comic book writer who had sort of recently moved into screenwriting. And so after reading some of her samples, she was an obvious choice to bring into the room. And Mika Collins had come from a darker sci-fi drama sort of background. And so they, bounced off each other really well in the room and could both bring in, different references. And I think that was important to have different voices and writers that had, written different things. Mariko had done a lot more comedy. Mika had done a lot of sort of more grounded, darker sci-fi. And we found that worked really well in the room together when we were fleshing out these characters and creating new characters. There's so many new characters that that aren't in the comic books that we had fun creating from scratch.
And when it came to directors, who are some of the female directors you brought on?
Danishka Esterhazy, we brought on. She just done a fantastic indie sci-fi called Level 16. And it just worked with sci-fi on the Banana Splits movie, which was sort of, another sort of very fun, gratuitous horror. And so she understood that world and she came on to direct two episodes 3 and 4. And we had two local female directors from South Africa, Natalie Harhoff and Cindy Lee, who came on to do two episodes as well. It's probably a great time to note now as well, shooting in South Africa, they just had the most incredible crews I've ever worked with. The talent there is phenomenal.
Just like Wynonna Earp, this series also has a relative new face for sci-fi television aboard. I remember a number of years ago we had Emily Andres, who was the creator of Wynonna Earp for television, and Melanie Scarani, who is the person who played Wynonna, and she's become a major sci-fi star because of it. And you've got somebody, her name is, I think it's called Adrienne Rey, who plays Alita,
yeah.
That's the Vagrant Queen.
Yeah.
How did you find her? And what had you and everyone think, that's the person we want, that's the character?
Yeah, I mean, we searched everywhere for Alita. You know, we were holding auditions in the States, in Canada, in the UK, and locally in South Africa as well. And it was sort of late in the process that that we came across Adrienne Rey's tape. She blew us away. It's a tough character to get right, because it's a very, you know, a fine line between the seriousness of the character and really being able to play the humor, and specifically a leader's type of comedy. And so her tape came in, it made us laugh, but had a lot of heart, and there was a lot of depth to it. And you know, in her callback tape, it was very clear that we'd found our leader, and she just embodied her on set, and just became this character. And what she brought to it is just incredible. She went above and beyond, including doing all of her own stunts, which none of us were expecting. She became a leader for all of us.
I noticed in the promos that Sci-Fi is currently running that it sounds like the show is like a two-sided show. On the one hand, it's space adventure, it's very galactic, so there's a bit of humor that the characters are flawed, but they're flawed in sort of a humorous way. They're not flawed in sort of a detrimental or disempowering way.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think that's what makes lovable characters, right, their flaws, and I think they need that. It was very important for us in the room to kind of create those sort of characters and to be kind of very self-aware with the tone, to have that sort of irreverence to it. I'm going to steal the words of Tim Rose on here, who described the show in three words as humor, heart, and hectic. And when I heard him say that, he was spot on. It is very important for us to keep it funny, but you got to have heart to do that. You got to have characters that you love and care about and want to follow along this journey. And hectic because there certainly is a lot of action, a lot that goes on, a lot of adventures. You know, we've got a lot of shootouts, cannibalistic aliens, karaoke, giant sandworms. It's quite an adventure.
I gotta ask how you get karaoke into the plot.
for us when we were writing this, we'd often one rule we had was, you know, whatever idea we came up first, keep pushing it, because there's what haven't we seen done before? You know, we've seen, if this episode's gonna end in a battle, what sort of battle haven't we seen before? And we realized that we hadn't seen a karaoke battle before for life, someone singing for their life. So we thought that would be hilarious to write in. I won't tell you what episode that is, but it was absolutely one of my most favorite scenes to shoot of the entire season.
Mm-hmm. And in this day, by the way, where you see a lot of musical one-shot episodes of shows, like, remember, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, other shows. This is quite interesting. Karaoke, Battle Test.
We spoke about the musical episode as well. We do have a bottle episode that takes place completely on the Winnipeg, which is our spaceship, the main spaceship of the show. And that one I'm really looking forward to audiences seeing. It's sort of a murder mystery in space, and it sort of remains a lot of the cast and crew's favorite episode.
You're hearing Jem Gerard. She is the developer and executive producer of Sci-Fi's new space saga, Vapor Queen. It premieres this Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. She's with us live from Vancouver, Columbia, or I should say Vancouver, Canada. Wonderful city. If you've never been there, it's a beauty anywhere in the North American continent. She's with us live there this half hour on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. The program will all about the two. Simon Apple with you live from New York, 38 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment on remaining minutes with Jem. Don't be shy. Raise the voice and dial in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later in the program, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. We'll have the answer to the one we've been offering the last 2 weeks. We have a brand new one for you, so get yourself ready because you could win the great book On the Front Lines of the Television War, that legendary war, Cameron in Vietnam story, that Cameron being from Vietnam, Tony Hiroshiki, who was on our show several years ago, along with the editor of the book, Terry Irving. So stay tuned. That question is coming up. You could win, and you got to play in to win. So stay tuned and see what you can do. And Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, 1 week from today, our lead guest will be the executive producer and showrunner of the brand-new CBS comedy, Brooke, Alex Hirschley. This is Alex Hirschley from Brooke, coming next month on CBS. He's with us 5 a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What was, for you, with everybody involved, the best part about putting this together?
That's a tough question because there are so many moments for me. It was just all around such an incredible experience putting this show together. Being in South Africa was a fantastic experience. As I mentioned before, the crew... the crews there are amazing, but I think it was, for me, the best show I've worked on in terms of how invested everyone on the crew was and cast. We all felt like we were creating something special, you know, and there was such an electricity every day on set that I'd never experienced before. It was this constant feeling throughout the entire kind of pre-production and production of this, you know, this camaraderie of everybody wanting to do the best job they could because, you know, we were working with a limited budget and not a lot of time. And there's just no way we could have put together such an incredible show if everyone's heart wasn't in it. So I think we all felt like we were creating something special and we all cared a lot about what we were doing. And everybody just went above and beyond, even in pre-production, creating this show, creating these planets, this spaceship, the level of detail that went into it was next level.
Yeah. A lot of people don't get into that. Like what kind of production detail did you go through to capture what you and the writers and directors all wanted put on screen?
Oh, I mean, the art team on this were just phenomenal. Like, we would have... It's the first show I've worked on as well where we used VR in pre-production for almost everything, almost, you know, our big set builds and our props that were being created from scratch. You know, every character had their own unique weapon and gun. The loyalist army and the Lazaro's army, they all had their own unique weapons, and we built all these in VR to see what this world would look like before we went and built them, including the spaceship. We'd build that, and I would walk around it in VR before the art team would go and build it, and then once they went, once they built it, and I was able to walk on that set. Every tiny little detail was thought about. We, you know, buttons worked, doors worked, lights worked. Every tiny detail of that ship, they thought about everything. It was, I think, for me, walking onto that spaceship was one of the most one of the highlights of the entire experience. Just seeing this spaceship, which is huge, by the way, and it's the Winnipeg's two levels as well, and kind of seeing this that you'd had in your mind for so long, and there you are standing in it. It's a very surreal experience.
Mm-hmm. If Sci-Fi gives you a second season, how do you want to expand the characters? And while you're waiting to hear how season one goes, are you working on any additional projects? Any TV work coming up?
Absolutely, we've got. When we start writing a show, you know, you want to know what's the larger arc, where is this going ultimately? And so, you know, I've always known where I'd want to take a second season and a third season. And without giving any spoilers away, season one does end, in a way that you want to jump straight back in and find out what happens to these characters. And so there's a very fun journey laid out for season two. And then obviously after doing one, looking at what worked really well, what are people loving, what are audiences responding to, and being able to pull more of that into the season is just going to be super exciting. Working on what a second season would look like, and it would be an absolute dream to be able to do that, to get a green light on that. And currently right now we're finishing up the final episodes. We've got the last bits of VFX to do on the end of season one. And then we'll see. Right now, self-isolating, it's a great time to write. So there certainly is a lot of my own projects that I finally have time to write, or I might be told to go and write season two now. But writing's certainly the thing to do right now while in self-isolation.
Adrienne Rae stars as Vagrant Queen, the new sci-fi series premiering this Friday night, also starring Tim Razan, Alex McGregor, and Paul Detoit. And that's all happening Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on Sci-Fi. Check your local news for where the network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.sci-fi.com, www.sci-fi.com. Vagrant Queen, produced, written, and directed by women. This Friday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Sci-Fi. Jem Gerard, the developer, executive producer, joining us live from Vancouver. Thank you again for being on. Congratulations on getting this series off the ground, and I think it's going to become a major, major force in terms of continuing to bring more women into the TV field as both writers and directors. Good luck with the series. Hopefully, there's a long run in store, and it's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely talking about it, and I would just love to finish by saying it's strange times to be promoting a show, but ultimately right now we really hope that this brings some enjoyment and some much, needed laughs and fun. Hope that it's some respite from the heaviness right now. So hoping audiences enjoy it as much as we did filming it.
Jen, we can definitely use it, and definitely greater times ahead. Absolutely. Take care. All the greatest.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Jim Gerard from Vagrant Queen on Sci-Fi, joining us live from Vancouver, Canada. Remember, the program begins this Friday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Sci-Fi. More tomorrow, Caroline's coming your way, but first some fine words from our sponsor, Audible.com. You know, if you're looking for something important to do, and I mean really important and great for the whole family to do while we're all dealing with the coronavirus, however you may be dealing with it, well, how about this? Give your listening a great shot to wonderful audiobooks by Audible.com, including new titles like Chances Are, a terrific novel by the excellent writer Richard Russo. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. It's available 24/7. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. And all you have to do to get going, sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. And when you do, you get not one, not two, three free audiobooks, two of them from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking about original audio productions, the best Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater titles available, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So, hear for yourself today how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. And boy, do we need it now. So, check out audibletrial.com/televised. This is the Mommy Televised with the promo about the tube. Rolling with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 minutes to noon Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, also on the iRadio Podcast Network. If you're joining us for the very first time, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we'll make it very easy for you. Go to our homepage anytime you like, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check out our podcasts. They're available anytime you like on iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio.com. On the latter two, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you get our shows. When we come back, we'll talk to the head of a production company that's still in business despite the coronavirus situation. And we want to do something about that situation for everybody. We'll be talking shortly live from Los Angeles with Harry Lowell of Nightlife Pictures and our Clap Street Question of the Week coming up as well. All happens after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio and the planet, www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, together serving over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, it's Dollhouse Radio, and yes, it will be all about the coronavirus and how you can live powerfully among that situation. That's Dollhouse Radio tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget that we join Spreaker available to you 24/7 on YouTube. And don't forget on TuneIn Radio, the Coronavirus News Channel, where you can get the latest information, reports from all over the country and around the world, and what you can do to keep yourself going in spite of this virus. That's the Coronavirus News Channel, now available at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Apple, I'm with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us. 3 degrees top of the hour. Another great guest coming for you in a half hour ahead. So get involved at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up later this half hour, we've got our Clap Tree Question of the Week. We'll give you the answer to the question we've been posing in the last 2 weeks. And we'll have a brand new question for you with a prize in play. So stay tuned and get your thinking caps going, because maybe by the end of today, you could be our next trivia winner. Now joining us live from Los Angeles, the president of a production company that's done quite a lot in terms of television and wants to do a lot more in spite of the coronavirus situation. Joining us live from L.A., the president of Nightlife Pictures, Harry Lowell. Harry, thanks for coming aboard.
Thanks for having me, Simon. I love that you speak as fast as I do. It's a rare situation. It's very appreciated, especially when you're quarantined.
Oh, absolutely. You're very, very welcome. For those who don't know, what is Nightlife Pictures, and what do most television viewers know it for?
We do a lot of stuff for unscripted television. So Discovery Channel, we've done Alaskan Steel Men. We worked, funny that you had Jem on. We developed some projects for sci-fi, but we're mostly known for unscripted. We're developing some shows right now as well for travel-related food series and comedy-based series. And, of course, obviously, a lot of that stuff is ground to a halt with all of the COVID and coronavirus situations, which is obviously very, very difficult on everyone, creative, crew, cast, everybody.
I want to get into what you've got in development a little later on in the half hour, but first, what does your company want to do to serve all of us in this time of pandemic?
Well, what's really great is I've got some really amazing people who work at Nightlife, and one of them is my producing partner, Ari Wilhelm, and she's from Mexico and has really has a great perspective on international production. So for us, we have done in the last few years a lot of international production. And what's going on right now, obviously, we're all a part of it. This is a unique time in history where the entire globe is experiencing the same thing at the same time. You know, Simon, 9/11, that was something that happened to our country. The world felt for us, but it was something that we experienced. New York felt differently. This is an experience where everyone is sharing this. And we have good friends. My wife has really good friends in northern Italy, where it has gotten very scary. They're making horrible life and death decisions over there. And so, you know, this is a real pandemic. This is something we all have to work to take care of each other, just in our families, in our communities, globally. I think that's something that everyone that we work with quickly came to the same realization. You know, when you started to see that you have to protect each other, it's not business as usual anymore. In the beginning, it was sort of a work from home, kind of a fun situation, and then you start to realize the gravity of it. I think that I look at these opportunities as sometimes there's some positivity that can come out of them, some great human kindness stories that are coming out of it. So for Nightlife, what we said is, well, look, this is the reality. It changes day to day, almost hourly, as to what you can do, how much you can achieve, whether you can get groups together or film or not. So I think we said, well, what can we do with all these talented individuals and skill sets? What can we do to help out, right, and give back beyond just, you know, taking care of our families within our tiny little communities? So I think a lot of people got together, and I saw companies like Amazon and Disney giving their extra food. You see Mark Cuban and people making donations. I think that there's some brilliant things happening. So for us, for Nightlight, we've got amazing storytellers. So we are looking, we are helping out with things that are true to us. I've got a son in high school, and there's a lot of kids who need meals. So we're working with groups like No Kid Hungry, trying to help them get the message out, get the stories out. Clients are coming to us and asking us to help participate in those types of things. And whether it's a PSA with a celebrity or whether it's a small video to kind of help them get their messages out, we're like turning our attention to the things that we maybe can help achieve and make a difference in this short time that we have to kind of pull together. So we're looking at all options that are, because the big stuff's off the table for us right now. We were doing some production on a show that involves being shot in Mexico, and all travel bans have come up. Crews can't be traveling. It's not really a safe environment to do so. So we're trying to find solutions to help out and use our skills.
I know the National Association of Broadcasters is working with both broadcast stations and cable networks on a number of public service spots that are happening all over the place. In terms of getting your content out that is coronavirus created, what kind of cooperation you're getting from not just the broadcast networks or cable networks, the ones you have dealt with on programming, but also smart TV set makers and smart device makers. On our show Friday, I made it sort of an appeal that it's time for the makers of those smart TV sets and smart TV devices that now are available in the majority of people's homes to step up to the plate and either launch services that would help people out while at home, or to carry some of the content that's been generated lately on social media, like John Legend's concert or the Rosie O'Donnell show that was a fundraiser last night, to not only have it be a social media thing, but also get it out to the general public.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that have reached out. So we have clients calling us, including, you know, like TiVo. There's groups that have not necessarily gotten into the broadcasting or streaming world, but they do have an audience that constantly connects and clicks to them. And I think the biggest thing that I've been hearing and people are asking us for is clarity. So they're looking for content that does two things. One, helps people understand the situation we're in and what we need to be doing. And the second thing is pure entertainment to get people's minds off of it, because there are people, you know, for people that are not in the high-risk category, you can kind of enjoy yourself. You can do Zoom meetings with your family and have wine nights by yourself with your friends. You know, virtually, there's some fun things that people can do, but there are some people who are having a harder time. There's elderly people with medical needs that are afraid and or catching the virus. So I think then at that point, the education portion is really important to get out there, but so is the entertainment. So we're finding people are saying, hey, what other content do you currently have? We just want to put something up to get people's minds off it. And I love Jem talking about her current show. I think you need to, as much as possible, bring interesting content to get people's minds off of what the situation is right now. I think that's just as valuable as also education and engaging people with what the reality is in front of us. I think there's still some people who do not understand the gravity of the situation. And then you can only turn to other countries that have made, you know, like Italy, had very, very difficult choices here. So I think a lot of people are realizing that they have a reach and they're doing more than, and they're reaching beyond their normal means. Again, TiVo being one that's, we know about that's reached out. That's an interesting opportunity to see if there's a way to touch that audience in a way that we normally would on a normal day. Normal day, it's not happening.
Yeah, and Harry, you mentioned something that we mentioned on Friday also, that the smart TV set makers and device makers like Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast, Google, so forth can do, and that is to launch local chat services, to launch video chat, to launch telemedicine, to launch educational services. Portal TV, by the way, which is Facebook's smart TV product that is video chat oriented, they should be right now marketing the heck out of that product and try to offer it to people at either free for a, let's say, 1 month, 2 month trial run or on reduced cost so that more people have video chat to stay in touch with their loved ones.
Yeah. We've had a good relationship with Comcast and NBC. We did a documentary that was about immigration, and it was bilingual. And what I liked about Comcast, too, is they were doing bilingual-based programming and wrapping that into their not just, you know, one segment of the market, but making it appealing to all. And I think that's another important element that those smart TV makers, the Comcast of the world, they have a reach beyond just the general market type of reach. And I think that's important to put out that kind of work and that kind of storytelling and get people access to things. I think there's a big need, too, that we're hearing people are reaching out to about education. So a lot of kids are not at school, and that's almost globally. And a lot of in the United States, there's a lot of kids who are not on the meal program. So they're working hard to get meals to those kids who would normally be getting a meal at school. And so they're structuring it that way. But then there's also a lot of public schools where the kids do not have access to the internet or a computer at home. And how are they going to continue to do the online learning? They don't want to miss an entire half a year of education, or make them make it up in the summer, or have to repeat a year. So that's been a big struggle as well, that we're just behind. The private schools, those areas may already have tablets and computers. So that's another interesting area where people can really help and contribute to try and get everyone through this crisis together. And maybe I think there might be some really smart lessons that we are learning right now that we can take. Right now it's a very new norm, and hopefully we can take some of these lessons and learnings into once this is completed and once we're through this cycle for coronavirus. I hope that there's some lessons and things, and just even in terms of being kind and the humanity behind this, which I think has just been super heartwarming, but also that we see the deficiencies in what we need to do to take care of each other and our neighbors and our children. So I think that's another big message that we're kind of getting involved with.
You're hearing the president of Nightlight Pictures, Harry Lowell. He's live from Los Angeles with us this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And we're delighted to have him on board, as well as all of you listening out there on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. This is Tomorrow Will Be Televised, from About the Tube. Tom Abbott with you live from New York, where it is 38 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or a comment for Harry? Don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0411. Welcome. Somebody just came into the room. So get involved one way or the other, and we will hear you. Remember, we have 3 episodes coming your way this week, all live, and our next one comes your way a half hour earlier than normal. That's 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. That's 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. Our first guest will be Nathaniel Halpern. He is the creator, writer, and executive producer of a very unusual drama series that's premiering next month on Amazon called Tales from the Loop. It's not based on a comic book, or a best-selling novel, or a feature film. It's based on digital paintings, and the digital painter is also on the production team. Nathaniel will join us as our first guest. Then we'll celebrate the 10th anniversary of Nat Geo Wild, the sister network of Nat Geographic, with Senior Vice President of Development Production, Janet Hamm-Dissering. And you'll also meet the star of the brand-new Hulu miniseries premiering on Friday, Baghdad Central, Waleed Zrotzer. That's all coming up on Wednesday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And remember, the special starting time, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. What is the mood out there, Harry, in terms of how both scripted and unscripted talent is dealing with this crisis?
It's obviously different. Unscripted is much more, there's less pre-production time frame in terms of you still are preparing like an unscripted type series, but it's much more action-based. So you're in tight groups, and then you're quickly moving into production, which is a little bit oftentimes smaller, but you're constantly on the run. And especially the kind of productions we do, you're traveling a great deal. You're you know, out of the country often. You're in hotels or Airbnbs often. So I think that it's really affected those unscripted because it's all about action and doing. You do have pre-production, but there's just much more constant activity going on. What's interesting about the scripted stuff, and we're working on some scripted pieces, is that we still can continue in stages to do certain things. So you can still do concepting. You still can do Bible creations. You can do episodes. You can still do the writing portion. It's a little bit awkward because, you know, you're not working towards the same timelines and deadlines you normally have. You have to still keep things on a tight timeline. But what's happened is you only have one phase of production engaging, because right now everything is being shut down. I think, you know, you can't deny that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson obviously showcase that this can happen and be contagious anywhere within any kind of crew. All TV shows, I mean, every day you're reading about shows that are just all shut down. The networks are working it. I am really inspired, though, by Netflix putting together a fund to help those hourly crews, especially the ones who are the drivers, those that are more on a day-to-day basis. I love what Amazon's doing to support those individuals, small businesses that support their main staff that's no longer in the offices. But I think from a crew perspective, there's only a handful of things that can continue to move forward while other things have to be completely halted. We can't even put together a rough timeline because we really do not know what the future holds. We're talking to the CDC. We're talking to the California Department of Public Health. We're in touch with all the unions, obviously, with SAG and everyone, because we all are trying to figure out what's moving forward, what can happen safely, where everyone is secure, but that we can actually count on something. Because as you know, production takes a lot of manpower to put together and put a timeline together, get the right crews together for a comedy or a drama. You have to have the right people. And right now it's kind of ground to a halt from that perspective. So from a scripted portion, really only the writing and development kind of portion can continue, which is, I personally love the development phase. It is hard though, when you work with so many great talented people, to know that we are on an indefinite hold on many projects until we know, you know, some kind of safety concerns for the crew, for the talent, and, you know, for the community at large when we're traveling around shooting. So it's put a big damper. All of our schedules have just been pulled off the walls. We do a lot of meetings about it, but we, you know, unfortunately we just don't have any kind of timeline, which is unlike us. We like to, as producers, we like things on our timeline in the way we like it to be. And it's very difficult when you don't have control over situation. And obviously your focus has to be on people's health. And that has to be the main driving concern right now.
The irony of all this is that in this crisis, television viewing, because of the increased stay-at-home population, has spiked big. Netflix is winning. The broadcast networks are winning to some degree. The cable networks are winning to some degree. It's like a win-win for everybody, but especially for someone like Netflix, which I'm sure when they announced their strategy of we're going to do all these shows, we're going to do them from all over the world in all different languages, there were a lot of people like, you can't do that. It ain't going to work. And now look at the strategy. It's turned out to be a huge, huge, huge advantage for them.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is we've done work for ESPN. We did some work for them with competition, like elimination type series. And what's interesting is that's a television network that is struggling right now. They have lost hours and hours and weeks worth of programming when they canceled March Madness, NBA, NHL, pushback of the baseball season. There's a lot of airtime to fill for the Fox Sports, the ESPN. And, you know, they are working very, very quickly internally to figure out, well, what can they do? What's possible to do with a remote-type team and a remote-type crew? And that's a unique challenge, too. I look at these things, these situations that we're encountering. You know, we're doing it for a good global reason and for health and safety, but I also feel like there's opportunities in here. So that, to us, is very exciting. So as a independent production company, we like looking at those kind of choices and saying, I wonder if there's something we can, you know, create with our team that could help the ESPN, the Fox Sports situation with the holes that they're facing, and find a way to do a show that actually can be created almost virtually. So that's been a fun challenge for us. So we do find these beautiful little opportunities here and there that really spark our interest. And that's one of the things I like about the people and the team that we work with. Everyone is just very sharp and very fun and very creative. And so, yes, some of the things that we were hoping that we were going to be in production on right now and coming up in the summer have been put on hold, but we're seeing new and interesting opportunities happening right this second. So it definitely sparks everyone's creativity. It gets everyone in motion and gives us an opportunity to keep pushing forward and keep, you know, the things we love to do to keep making them happen.
Before we dive more into the development on your end, it's very interesting, Harry, that last night ESPN brought back the Ocho, the ESPN 8, all the unusual crazy sports. And one of the things they showcased last night was this half-hour marbles championship, where you didn't see human beings, you saw marbles doing all sorts of things, including this wonderful obstacle course race at the very end, going through this unique course with all sorts of twists and turns. It was absolutely funny, but also really interesting, and you're like wondering, well, maybe that might be, you know, the new Walking Dead at some point, if this keeps up, to do like virtual marble competitions.
Yeah, my wife says all the time, you know, there are going to be lessons we're going to learn from this, and we're going to see opportunities that come from this situation we're in right now, and they are going to stay with us. Other things will return back to normal, but I do think that we are going to learn a lot. I think it's been wonderful to spend time sequestered, you know, self-sequestered as Los Angeles and California is the same way, stay-at-home, lockdown kind of, you know, mandate. It's been great for my son, my wife, all of us to be together and to kind of change the norm. You know, we're seeing each other more. We're taking walks together because you're kind of isolated. So I think that there's been this, you know, you're going to see, I'm hoping, a really nice shift in the positives that we take from this situation and take those with us into when life returns back to normal. I hope that there's some positives we see that come out of this. And I do think that there are a lot of times programming is very, very locked in with networks because they have to keep moving. They've got things in, you know, and they're programming, you know, a year or two down the road sometimes. This is a really unique situation for everyone to stop for 1 second and take a breath and see, you know, is there something else we might, kind of a little mini reset. And that's a really interesting point of view, and that's how we kind of looked at it as well.
So what kind of things are in your pipeline, both unscripted and also scripted? Looks like you're going to be making a major move there once this whole crisis passes.
Yeah, I mean, we were working on a couple of things. One thing we're really excited about is we're in the middle of developing a show with Natalia Tellez, who is a very funny Hispanic from Mexico actress and host. And Ari turned us on to her. She's amazing. Great personality, really great impromptu, and it was called Los Interviews of Hollywood, and that's something we're working on with Funny or Die. So that's, we can only do what we can do at this point. There's a lot of just development talk happening, and all of our timelines are out the window. Another thing we have that we were working on right before the break is we have a new distributor out of the UK, and so we had a cooking show with an amazing influencer. She's very funny. Her name is Katie Allen. It's called Good Cooking with Katie, and this was going to be a stage-based show that she would put together, and we were going to shoot it out of Mexico. And again, we were in negotiations for that particular show, but we can't move any of these. So everything's kind of a bit on hold for those pieces. Now we're just taking more time to write up the episodes, diving more specifically into the comedy, kind of with Natalia, looking at different options. So it's kind of been a blessing in one way, because oftentimes you want as much development time as you can. This time we're going to have a lot more development time than we ever, you know, hoped for. So this will make a big difference in us getting ready for a pilot shoot for both those programs.
And finally, is there a sense that people can see the light at the end of the tunnel, no matter where you are in television, that we're marching toward that day, not far from it?
Well, you know, that's the hard thing. I don't know that we're not that far from it. That's going to be the tricky part. So I think it's been much harder, and which is why we try to keep our teams and our crews as positive and upbeat as we can. But there are many, many below-the-line crews that are struggling, because if you're a DP, if you're a cameraman, if you're a grip, there just aren't opportunities because of safety and concerns, and it's affected their life tremendously. So this is, you know, people are going to be affected by this, and we're all taking this brunt to protect each other. But there are a lot of below-the-line crews that are not going to be able to make up this lost revenue. And we just hope that as soon as it's safe and everyone feels comfortable and can get back to work, that everyone can jump right back into something and move quickly, because I think those crews are the ones that suffer the most. Caterers, location scouts, all those individuals who don't have an opportunity to work development or the stuff you and I discussed, Simon. I think those are the ones that I hope this passes quickly and swiftly so that we're all safe, but I'd like to see them back to work for sure.
If you want to know more about what Harry's company is doing now and in the future, here's where you go online, nightlifepictures.com. It's nightlife, N-I-T-L-I-F-E, pictures.com. They do a lot of interesting stuff for television and a lot more in the pipeline, hopefully sooner than later, once this coronavirus situation passes. And, of course, we are, you know, sending our very best to everybody involved in the Hollywood, the New York production communities in between, here in the United States and around the world, that we get this virus licked and we get it soon and we all get back to production and have a better TV environment for it. Harry, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for all your thoughts. All the very best to you and your team and your crew. And again, let's keep praying and cooking that we're licking this. And we are going to lick this, and we're much better for it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Simon. Appreciate it. Love what you do. Happy to be a part of your show.
Thank you very much. And by the way, Harry, when you get that show on with Natalia, we'd love to have you and Natalia back on once the show is set to go. Let us know. We'll have you both on. It would be a pleasure.
Oh, fantastic. Well, she's hilarious. You're going to love her.
All right, you got it. Take care. All the greatest.
Cheers.
Harry Lolo, president of Nightlife Pictures, joining us live from Los Angeles. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. First, let's give you the answer to the question that we had over the last 2 weeks. What was the Dick Van Dyke Show's original name? The answer that we had was Head of the Family. That's the name of the TV pilot that Carl Reiner did and starred in and wrote and then was rejected, then was put back in play as the Dick Van Dyke Show. We have learned also that in Carl Reiner's autobiography and also on IMDb's database, that there's another title for this, which is Man of the House. However, that is not in Wikipedia, that is not in other sources, and it's not the name of the pilot. The pilot's name was Head of the Family. However, if anybody had done Man of the House, given what we have learned about over the weekend, we would have accepted that answer. So that was our last classic trivia question. Nobody got it. So here's our new trivia question, and I know it only has one answer because I've already checked it out. And here it is. Name the 1950s comedy series co-starring Natalie Wood. That's right. Between the time Natalie Wood was a child actress in films like Miracle on 34th Street and then a teenager in films like Rebel Without a Cause, for one season, she was on television co-starring in a comedy that starred Paul Hartman, and you can see episodes of it on YouTube. So name that comedy, the 1950s comedy series co-starring Natalie Wood. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the book On the Front Lines of the Television War, published by Casemate. It was put together by former Vietnam War cameraperson Tony Hirashiki and edited by Terry Irving. Both of them are on our program when this book was released about 3 years ago. Forward, by the way, in the original narrator and host of Nightline on ABC News, Ted Koppel. On the phone lines of Television War, if you want that book, well, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com with that correct answer. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win that book. If you missed the question a moment ago, we'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so do so, and all the very best. I want to thank all our guests and all of you for tuning in this hour. We'll be back on Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now. Remember, we kick it off at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. Our guest again will be Nathaniel Halperin, the creator, executive producer, and writer of the brand-new Amazon series, Tales from the Loop. Then Janet Ham Bissening, the senior vice president of Nat Geo Wild, marking its 10th anniversary this month. And finally, the star of the brand-new Hulu miniseries, Baghdad Central, Waleed Zwasser. It's all coming up on Wednesday, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up with episodes missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. Check out the podcast on iTunes, Apple TV, Speaker Podcast app. Of course, tune in radio on iHeartRadio.com. And we'd like to hear what you thought about the show today. We'd like to hear how you're hanging in with television and the coronavirus. So email me, find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, UBC Simon WT, however you get involved. We hear you because what you say matters. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not as those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and iHeart Radio. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Please follow the CDC guidelines, do your part, and let's get this coronavirus pandemic lift. We'll be back on Wednesday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio Speaker, iHeart Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe, and more than ever, make it great, and live powerfully. Until next time, stay well, and stay tuned.